Welcome to another episode of The Sovereign Envoys, a podcast about incredible topics with credible evidence. And your host, Gabriel, and Theory. Oh, there you go. And today we are going to talk about something that happened to me, which is kind of the catalyst for the entire life of searching. I've been researching, you want to call it paranormal, I guess, for... I would say all my life. Say 28 years if you want to talk about my first sighting. But I mean, they were few and far between, but they always piqued my interest. And then I had other interests and thought processes that kept me on that pathway. And it's been a long, lonely pathway. But thanks to the internet now and subreddit RUFOs, I'm beginning to find a... Yeah, and I'm beginning to find a group of people that I can really click with, and I'm hoping to cater to people who are able to be as, interested, and they do their research, too, about these topics. I've had a lot of conversations with these people over the last few months, and they've kind of restored my hope in... trying to untangle this ball of knotty, knotty yarn that is the phenomenon, as I call it, because there's no one way to call it by any name. So that encompasses so many things, and we'll go over them in the next episodes as time goes on. But to call it UFOs does it an absolute disservice, because there's so much more to what's going on out there. And we're not going to pigeonhole this. We're not going to do that. We're going to call it the phenomenon because we have no other words for it. Words fail us, in fact. And that's the whole reason why we're trying to search for what it is that's going on here. So continue to listen in the days, weeks, months, years, and hopefully we can explore the phenomenon together. That being said... Yeah. Today I'm under the gun from Theory, who likes to he does some good research up on the subreddit, and since I wasn't just gonna sit here and yammer on about my experiences, I thought it would be best if I was interviewed by someone, and that would give us a little bit of experience for when we have people to interview in the future.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I'm not taking like a Corbell type role here where I'm just trying to promote his story. Gabriel gave me explicit permission to ask him difficult questions and to take a skeptic view on his story. So I'm going to ask him some difficult questions. And so
I don't even know what you're going to ask, right?
Yeah, exactly. I haven't even told you the questions. So this is going to be a harder interview for you than it is for me.
I don't know about that. But have you been thinking about it? Have you been like sitting there going, I'm going to ask him this?
I mean, not really, but I wrote a few down.
Okay. So how about should I give you the breakdown from when I was like 8 to like the last? Because there was 3 main sightings that I had that have to deal with like things in the sky, basically.
Yeah, give us the breakdown.
Yeah, okay. So like and it was always during the day.
Okay.
So one time when I was in grade 2 or 3, I think it was 2. No, it must have been 3. Yeah, one time when I was in grade 3, it was during recess. So it was about 9:15 in the morning, and you know your memories after that long, they get really fuzzy. But I remember this one because it's kind of what got me interested in the whole thing and what really clicked. And you'll understand why when I finish this part. So I was lying on my back looking up at the sky and the clouds. I was always kind of a loner as a kid, but just looking up at the clouds. And I saw 3... balls of light, I guess, and they were in the form of a triangle, and they were glowing this really weird orangey, yellowy reddish color, and kind of like fading in and out between those colors, like an LED that changes color would. But it was really weird at the time because I'd never seen anything like that, and so, you know, being 33 now, And that was when I was in grade three. It was really weird, and so the school bell rang, and they were still there. And I have to admit that I over the years have decided I could have made this up. I could have made this up in my child mind, and I really didn't know if I could believe that memory anymore or not. But I felt like it was real. Anyways, that'll play into the next sighting later, when I really decided that I believed that I must have made it up. But anyways, so I was going in, and they were ushering us in, and I was like after school, they're getting you back after the bell rang to go into line and to go back into the school. And I kind of, before I got all the way in the door, I was looking at the teacher kind of like, look at that, like, what, I want to ask her, like, what is that thing in the sky? She's like, she wouldn't even look. And I was like, no, like, there's something in the sky. She's just like, get in. And there's something about that bothered me so much that I'm like, why won't she even look? Like, I don't know. But now thinking about it as an adult, I'm like, well, you know, it's just a kid going, look. And you're like, whatever. But it really bothered me as a kid. So that's something that stuck with me. And I was really interested in the whole phenomenon since then.
Why was she saying get in? Was it because of the object or
no?
Recess was over. Okay.
Recess was over. No, they didn't even want to look at it. They didn't see it. They didn't. Nobody else saw it but me.
Okay.
It was really high in the sky. It was like above the clouds, but it's like it was there. I don't know. It's almost like I felt like it knew. I don't want to say I felt like it knew I saw it, but I don't know. There was something weird, and it's such an old memory that it feels like something's not off, but like it's such a old memory, but it's not vague. Mm-hmm. But it feels made up now. It feels like I made it up. So
yeah,
but for it to be that memory that started everything, I'm like, I couldn't have made it up. It's what started everything. Why would I be searching for all this stuff and have made that up? Like, memories
don't. And what did it look like?
It just looked like three balls in a, like, three hovering lights in a triangle.
Okay. Shape.
Like the classic, like, if you'd see it at night, like those triangles that have a light on each point, but it was during the day. There was nothing in between it. It was just lights, like balls, hovering balls. As far as I remember, they weren't maneuvering at all. Although I think later on I tried to convince myself that they were, but I don't want
to. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about your second experience?
That happened in 2008. That one was profound.
All right.
So that was bizarre. That was, I came home from work, and there was nothing odd about the way I came home from work. In fact, I was listening to, you know, loud, heavy music on the way back home, driving. And then when I got home, you know, still being interested in this stuff, involved in this stuff. I remember reading some stuff from Stephen Greer. And I know a lot of people don't know what to think of him. I still don't. But I read a lot of stuff about people trying to meditate to contact whatever, UFOs or whatever. And like, you know, that Yahweh guy. And even though it's like a lot of these guys are just batshit crazy. But I thought at the time, I was like, well, like, whatever. I started to really, just in my mind, I was like, I really am believing that I made that up, the first one. So I was like, well, whatever. And I had really was ready to give up. I was like, I'll do this one thing, and what's the worst that could happen? So I went through the meditation. There's a certain specific, like, methodology to go through it, like I shared with you. He has it on his site too, and he explains some stuff about it. And I just kind of did it without expecting anything, without, you know, expectation, without even hoping too much for anything to happen, and just kind of was just like, okay, I'll try, whatever. I just went into a deep meditation. 40 minutes felt like 10 minutes, I guess. I was you know, meditating for a while, and I got into that zone where maybe whatever happens when your brain is in that zone. And I mean, I could go over the procedure if you want. Like,
yeah, tell us everything you did.
Well, you can read it up in his site. He tells you exactly what you do, but I've been able to repeat it once the year after on the anniversary and get something, which I'll talk about after quickly, but I was never able to repeat it again. So I don't know what I'm missing. I don't know if it's just a like a telephone call. You phone somebody and they pick up or they don't pick up, or, you know, I have no idea. But basically, you go into like a try and quiet your mind so that you don't have any thoughts. And that's a really difficult thing for people to do, A. And B, you start to try and basically show where you are by zooming out from where you are, as if, imagine there was like a pinpoint on you on Google Maps and you zoomed out visually. So you're not thinking with words, but you're just kind of thinking in pictures and zooming out where you are, and then zooming out where you're, you know, where you're from, as if you were zooming out Google Maps all the way. And then you kind of pinpoint yourself on the third planet from the sun, and then where the sun is generally in the galaxy. And you just kind of, you open like an invitation, which is like, I think there's a specific order you have to do it in. It's been a while, and I should really get into trying to do it again, because it's kind of the Hail Mary. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, I don't know. It should work again, but I think I'm missing something. And that's what I'm trying to work on. It has a lot to do with self-honesty. And it's like they can read your mind. It's like they know you better than you know yourself. If this stuff works, they have some kind of technology that could tap into what you are thinking. And if that's possible, there are fMRIs out there that can tell you what you've decided before you know that you've made a decision. Just by putting someone in an fMRI, which is a functional magnetic resonance imaging, which reads your synaptic relay in your brain, the connectome. So it'll be able to tell you what you've decided before you're aware of what you've chosen. I think it was up to 6 seconds, or maybe that's pushing it. Maybe it's a few seconds, but definitely whatever they have is so far beyond what we have, that they can do this at a distance. If you know, if what I saw was real, which it absolutely was. Anyways, so you do that. So you zoom out. So you put this kind of this intent that you want to, you know, you have to be respectful about it, because you're not contacting aliens, quote unquote. You're connecting with beings, with people that are, for all concerns, are just the same as you and me. We have loves, we have hates, we have likes and dislikes, and they could be 1,000 years old. So if you're not, you know, respectful and honest, and don't just want to see them for the entertainment value, like, just think of it like someone said it like this, and I think it's really, it hits home. If you do this, pretend like you're in your grandma's house when you try and talk to someone. Like, if you're talking to your grandma in a respectful way, or an elder or somebody like that, that's kind of how the conversation's got to go. And it's got to be from the heart. Anyways, I've probably gone on long enough. So you do this intention that you would like, if they're available, if they want to, they can come see, and then you like come visit or whatever, and just say hi and do whatever that means to them, right? Because it's totally on their terms. So once you have that intention, then you zoom out and kind of do that Google Earth thing where you zoom out and then show where you are and yada yada. And then you just focus on doing that and try to make it like a a very organized process while you do those thoughts. And I know that's hard to do. I can't even talk about it in an organized way. I'm bouncing all over the place. But I think that mm-hmm. as part of the way you do it too, because Guir says you got to use this thought protocol that's like a very specific, it's like if thoughts are like a flashlight, it's like you're turning it into a laser and guiding it and being very, very focused.
So did you do the exact same protocol the third time? And then what happened that time?
Yeah, I did the exact same protocol. And I got a different vehicle. It wasn't a vehicle. It was probably more of a drone. But it was...
So can you tell us the difference between the two?
One was like a ship. It was a flying... it looked like a lampshade. A corrugated lampshade with a golden cone on top. Yep.
And then the third one?
It looked like a... I thought it was a grocery bag at first, but it was flying up and against the wind and in a really weird, slow way. It was not dancing like a bag, but it was about the size of a white grocery bag, at least from the distance that I saw it, possibly larger. But it looked the like first that. Time. Yeah, hold on. Mm-hmm. It looked like that, but like, so it was like a ball shape, but it was almost like a... It was like a skin, like it was all white, and there was like a half ball shape, like moving under the skin of the ball, the main ball. I don't know how to explain that.
Okay, maybe you could try to draw a picture or something too.
It'll just look lumpy. It just it was a half ball, and imagine if you just like had a sphere with like a half sphere smashed into it. And then you made it completely perfectly smooth, and then you had the half ball like slowly gliding on under the surface of the skin, and so it looked really weird.
Hmm. The first time, did you have any sort of meditation or any of that zoom out stuff that you talked about with the second two?
No.
Okay. So is there any doubt in your mind that what you saw could have been just your mind making it up? So for example, after the long meditation, is there any chance that it could just be a self-induced hallucination that would explain why maybe other kids or your teacher didn't see it? And then also
that one, maybe.
Did you look? Okay.
That one, maybe. Did, yeah.
Did you check to see if any of these dates were reported by others? Like, did they appear in the news or, have you been able to search that date?
That's incredibly hard.
Okay.
That's incredibly hard. First of all, because, I don't know, I was in grade 3 for the first one. The second one, I have tried. I have tried and I have tried. Nobody, it's like, you don't, you tell people about it, the cops didn't know what to do with it. First of all, they said, I talked to, well, here's the thing. So that ship showed up for a full 3 seconds. It popped in where my eyes were focused. After the meditation, I was just looking super relaxed, looking just at the sky, kind of not trying to focus on anything, but just, there was one thing, I was so relaxed that I was seeing, and I can still do this, but when you really relax and you relax the focus in your eyes, there's sparkles that you can see. I don't know how else to explain it. There's sparkles. And you can control these with, like, your concentration. And they look like, they look like they corkscrew, like, infinitely fast. They're just zillions of them. And it's like, I've heard some people explain them like, oh, that's just the blood vessels in your eyes. Maybe mm-hmm. maybe a reason why I can control them. Sure, I can see that as a plausibility. Then again, on the absolute opposite side of the spectrum, I've heard some people call it prana, which is energy, whatever that means. Another alternative option is somebody said that these were photons that you could see when you're really relaxed or something. Now, they seem to be more visible in natural light. So it's possible they're photons. Or it's possible that that's what kind of light you need in order to reflect them off the blood vessels in your eyes. But that kind of soft focus, if you can see those sparkles, you know you're kind of getting into a point where if you can see those sparkles, you can start to focus on kind of being able to play with them. And this isn't nothing magic. It's just if you happen to, if that's a thing that you're aware of, there's another tool in your tool belt. I don't know how else to explain it. And this sounds crazy. I know it does. But if anybody knows about the sparkles, let me know.
So I just Googled it and it says they're called phosphenes. And phosphenes are the moving visual sensations of stars and patterns we see when we close our eyes. They are thought to be caused by the inherent electrical charges the retina produces even when it is in its resting state.
Could be. Yeah, could be. So. Yeah, I never looked it up, but could be. So anyways, yeah, I was looking at those and I was just relaxed, and it's really relaxing when you get to the point where you can see those. Oh, my eyes were opened, by the way, when I was seeing those.
Okay.
Not closed. I don't see them when they're closed.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, and it's not like stare directly into the sun either. It's more like, you know, don't stare into the sun. The sun was behind me, actually. It was 4:30 in the afternoon, so I just got home from work. And the sun was behind me. I was looking out east. I was looking up at about, I don't know, like 45-ish degrees up, and just relaxed looking at those things. And all of a sudden, that ship, I guess I would call it a ship or a craft, it was a corrugated lampshade shape. It was coppery silvery, but not either one or the other. It kind of had a weird, it looked metallic, but it wasn't flat copper, wasn't flat silver. It was a weird color, kind of both. It looked like it had been around a while, like it wasn't a brand new vehicle. But I could be wrong. It could just be the way it looks. I don't know.
And about how far away was it?
I have no idea. I'm not a trained observer for that. But if you stick your thumb out in front of your face with your arm extended, my thumb could cover it up. Just barely. So I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe a kilometer or two, or maybe three or four. But if you go on Google Earth and you want to look up Calgary, you can go check out Norfolk Road and 64th Ave to Deerfoot City. And that's about how far it was, I'm guessing.
Okay.
So I'm guessing like anywhere from 1 to 5 kilometers. I don't even know how to assume. I can't assume that I know how far that is. But anyways, so I'm assuming this thing was big enough.
So what was your mood like when it showed up? What was the general atmosphere like?
Oh, just super relaxed.
Okay.
Just super relaxed. No, calm. No. Okay. Quite the opposite. No.
And what about the other two cases?
They're always just kind of like, it's like, just relax, man. Like, I'm just chill. And way less stressed than in, like, your normal average every day. So it's just like a stress is not there. And everything's kind of chill. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, my God. Like, thank you for showing up. Like, I was really grateful. I think I bowed in as a sign, because I knew they were like, they wouldn't just pop into where I was looking just by accident. I think it worked, right? I was like,
are they
it fucking Asian
or kings, or why are you bowing to them?
Just to say thank you.
Just respect. Okay.
I don't know.
I hate to ask, but were you under the influence of anything at any of these occasions?
I probably had a small puff of weed, but.
All three times?
No, not when I was not when I was a kid, and not the third time.
Okay.
But I'm talking like less than the one shot hooter. No. I don't even take a full draw on that, and that's like a fraction of a. Yeah, I really don't like weed anymore. I don't even smoke it anymore. But that's why I'm trying to get it to happen again without the stuff. You know what I mean? That's and everybody's like, "Oh, you should try ayahuasca." I'm like, "Nah, man. I'm trying to do this legit. Like, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I want to do it proper, like you would if you visited your grandma, kind of thing."
So
You
what
know?
happened after the third case?
The third case? Nothing.
After, I mean, didn't you say that you had something fly over you?
That was the second.
No, I mean after the third one. Or was it after the second one?
Yeah, the second one was in 2008. The third one was in 2009, a year after on the anniversary, pretty much on the
But you told
anniversary.
me that you had a helicopter with a strobe light come
Yeah,
after you.
3 days
Was that
later.
after the second one?
Yeah, so after the second one, a helicopter, a black Apache helicopter with tinted windows. Okay, I'm in Canada. We don't have Apaches. And I've never heard of an Apache or any aerial vehicle with tinted windows. Okay. It also had an acoustic dampener on the blades. I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know that that was a thing that you could do to cancel out noise. This thing flew from a private a private pad in the airport, illegally low over the city, like where it was like to the point where it was probably blowing the grass and the trees on the houses up until it got to my house with the air that came off its rotors or blades or whatever. I don't know the proper term for each pair of spinning blades, but it came straight to my house. Like it made a beeline for my house. It had a flashing strobe light on the front. It had this big ball on the top above the blades. I don't know what that is. I heard some people say radar. It made absolutely no sound until it was practically on top of me, and it came up. I don't, like I said again, I can't judge distance, but I could see it, the air from it moving the trees in my backyard before it turned around.
And was this in the daytime?
This was at 9:30 or 10
Okay.
at night, because I had just taken, and this is the weird, another weird coincidence was that when I was driving to, I think it was a Thursday or something, but I was doing martial arts. I t taught martial arts for a few years, and when I drove by that, this is why I was stopping and thinking when I was trying to tell you about the tinted windows, because I was remembering, I was wondering if I should even say it, but when I was driving to the leisure center across the city, I passed that landing where it landed. So I saw it before I went to go teach, landing behind a building. And then when I went back home, I was just standing out in my backyard, and that same helicopter. This is a weird thing to see in Calgary. I've never seen one before or since. Never
What
even
did the
heard of
ball
one.
on top look like? Was it spherical or like a donut shape?
Well, it would be like a donut, but without a hole.
Okay, because I'm looking at it and it looks like the British Army has black Apache helicopters with a donut on top.
Could be, yeah. It's got a
I don't know
huge,
what the
huge
strobe light.
ball. What's that?
I don't know what the strobe light would be though.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know. Some people would say that, oh, it's like for like, signal to other people in the air that it's in the air, but it
But it
was.
was blinking like extremely fast, right?
Yeah, it was blinking like it was at a rave, and I'm like, that's
Okay.
too, like, what is that? Like,
Yeah.
I don't think that that's a part of the aviation protocol,
No, I don't think so.
especially if they're flying that low. I mean, I've seen cops with well, I assume it's the police, but I've heard their helicopters, but they've had all the lights off. I'm assuming they're using like night vision to track people, and I've heard of that, but I've never heard of this. Like, I get cops flying around with no lights on at night, so you can't see them. I know they do that, but I've never seen anything like this. Acoustic dampeners? Like, how much does that cost?
Yeah.
If you can go invisible, why do you need acoustic dampeners? I don't know why they... it was really weird, man. Didn't scare me, though. I mean, I just sat there and I stared at it the whole time, and I was like... I even waved, I think. Because I knew they were coming looking at me. I'm like, well, they must have figured it out somehow. Took them 3 days. I really don't understand. It's a mystery to me. But 6 months later, I started to get the inkling. I was like, well, I remember I used to work beside the... I used to work at a window. They make windows, Lux Windows, and it's right across from where I thought this craft has materialized above a certain a certain building, and it was underneath where I thought this thing had popped in. I guess I should explain what happened. It popped into view, right? Mm-hmm. And then it made an acrobatic maneuver where it made four circles in the air. Perfect.
And
circles.
This is not the helicopter. This is the object.
This is the object. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it popped in, stayed perfectly level, flew in four circles, like two infinity symbols, or like two figure eights, one horizontal and one vertical, and made perfect circles with every, like, perfect circle left, perfect circle right, perfect circle down, perfect circle up. And I can't even do that when I draw it, but it did it in one fluid motion. I'm like, that doesn't work out. Like, my brain can't comprehend. If you draw something with perfect circles, you have to go straight in the middle. You can't do a full circle. It doesn't make sense to me, but it would have to have that pinpoint accuracy with its navigational system. It's like a CNC drew it in the sky in 3D. That's not possible. That's not possible in our wildest dreams unless they're using some incredible fucking technology.
Mm-hmm.
There's that too.
So what do you think they are?
And then when they... hold on. And it stopped where it started. And when it disappeared, it faded out slightly slower than it appeared. So it popped in. But when it faded out, it faded out fast, but it faded out slow enough that it looked like you could see like a frame, like under a skin a little bit. And I don't know. And the golden cone thing on top, it looked like it had some kind of like something inside it, like a filament. It wasn't glowing like a light, but it has some kind of like something inside it. And it was... It was glowing, but it wasn't like bright, and I don't think it was meant to like be a light source or anything. And the last thing I guess I could say is that it didn't reflect light, like looking towards the airport, because it appeared by the airport. The airport is just up the hill for it, right? Mm-hmm. It was the same direction that helicopter came. It was just off to the left a bit, which could be a few miles, but just like depending on where I'm sitting, you know, it's still the airport. So
what's your general feeling about what it is or what you saw? What do you think they are?
I don't know.
Because I know you're very specific about the language you want to use. So why do you have that feeling?
Of which?
Well, you...
Phenomenon?
I mean, you like to say that we shouldn't call them aliens.
Oh, absolutely not.
So can you go into why you think that?
I think they're human.
Okay.
I think they're a kind of human. But that's just me. Like, I have no idea. I feel like that they are, if not more human than we are. Like, we see all these different breeds of dogs, right? They all came from a wolf. I think they're us, but a different like a cousin or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's my sense. That's how I feel. But they're way, like, they've been around a little longer. We're like the babies. We're the new kids on the block, if we make it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. That's how I, that's the sense that I get. And that's why they don't just show up. There's a thing about being patient here that we have to learn, because we are wasteful. We are impatient. We are a now society. And this is not how things work. We are so lucky to have the planet we have. And I think, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot more going on out there than we could ever possibly know. And I think that we're not ready. Just
okay,
quite
and then
frankly,
you,
I don't think we're ready.
You think that they can read our minds? Is that a biological capability, or is it technological, like a long-distance MRI? Or what do you think that is?
It's probably both. It's probably augmented by technology.
So, total, how many times have you tried to make this happen as far as the protocols and the meditation? Out of three successes, have you tried 5 times, 6 times?
Oh, probably 12 or 13.
Okay.
So not a whole lot, but it's extremely daunting.
And when did those attempts occur? Was it, were all of your failures after the third time, or was there a few failures between each time?
I think there was one or two maybe failures in between, but most of the failures occurred after the third. I can't be sure why, but there's a lot of personal growth that I had to go through, and that's another reason why I'm feeling like I'm ready to do something more, is because I've grown a lot as a person, and I won't go into that. But honestly, I think a lot of this has to do with facing ourselves. And I believe a lot of this phenomenon has to do with actually us more than them.
Do you think there's any chance of having a success while recording it on video?
I think it really depends on where we are at as a group or as personal. And it really depends. I believe that, like it doesn't hurt to ask, but I can't be the one to decide. It's definitely has more to do with us than it does to do with them.
What's your feeling about that Yahweh success where he had the craft show up while he was on the news, and it was, you know, pretty far away, but do you think that was just a coincidence, or do you think that was actually him doing it?
Oh, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. He could have had a few successes and then decided that he was going to throw balloons up there and then try to keep it going. Because I don't think it has anything. I don't think that they're going to come on whim. But then again, there's people, I guess, that go out there and do Greer's thing. And apparently every time they go out, it works, which doesn't seem to be the case with me. So I guess I'm doing something wrong. I mean, I'm totally honest about this. Like, I'm not a perfect person by any stretch. But if I'm anything, I'm honest. And that's the way I'm going to keep it. Because I want to pull everybody that I can, like, with me. And when I mean that, I don't mean, like, in a cult kind of way. But, like, I want to show you, not show you what's possible. It's like, I just want to make you aware of what aspects can be variables in the phenomenon that you might want to think about. So a lot of it is personal growth as a person.
And I think too that you're more credible than Yahweh or even Greer just because you're not charging money for this information. I mean, if you can really do it and you want to help other people do it, there's no reason why you should charge money for that knowledge or that information.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're trying to put out a movie and I don't know. It's everybody has their own ideas, but where I'm coming from in my personal journey here, I guess, would be what I would say about money is that no, I'm not going to charge you money to tell you what I know. Never. Why? But what I would want money for is if I could get a bunch of people that are way better at researching than me and that would want to work with me to find the right people that are trying to do things like, well, like that guy Deep was trying to get technology that could do things to maybe possibly reverse engineer these things. What I would do with money is I would put my money where my mouth is and I would let the money talk. That's what I would do. I would invest in the people that I believe are the closest to finding things out that we might be able to use to get ahead. And I would invest in them or help them in any way possible with information, with whatever. I don't care. I'm not a business guy. And I'm told that, you know, that's a stupid thing to do in business. But, you know, I believe in if we find the right people to help and they pay it forward for humanity in some way, then 30 years of my life researching this stuff hasn't been wasted. Because right now I feel like 30 years of my life has been totally wasted. And I think the only way that I can kind of redeem myself is if I help push this forward. And it doesn't have to be because I need it to be right. It's more because I believe I might have something that can help other people, but I'm not sure.
Have you ever tried either teaching a friend how to do it or tried kind of the CE5 protocol with friends in a circle? And have you ever tried to do it as a group?
Yeah, it didn't work out. I think it has a lot to do with how you click with the people that you're with.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing too. Like when I say it's more about us than it is about them. This is something that there's a CE5 group that's in Calgary, and I'm not a, you know, how I was saying, like, there's like these groups that go around and they like to hug each other and say love is this and that. And it's kind of really not my style. You know what I mean? I don't know if you know what I mean, but anyways, this particular group was, I went in and I got a big hug from somebody's grandma, and I'm not a hugger. And then I got a hug from this lady I never met before. And then her 8-year-old kid came up and hugged me. And then a couple weeks later, we went out and meditated and I was freezing and they never saw anything. And she never called me out for the next one. And I figured it had warmed up. And then I was kind of offended that they didn't call me out. And then she said that I have to do some work to open my heart, whatever that means. So, and I understand that this whole like process of meditation, it has a lot to do with your body. Like it can't be just a brain thing. Like I want, that's why I say you can't think with thoughts. It has to be like a intention coming from your, like you have neurons like in your heart and your gut, and you have like a magnetic field that your body produces and shit like that. That's stuff that this technology picks up on. It has a residue and it can be picked up. It can be picked up by our equipment now. Yet these guys probably can do it to the umpteenth level. I don't think I was clicking with their crew. I'm not a big hugger. I found this to be very uncomfortable for me. And I think I just didn't click with them. So I think, unfortunately, as nice as they are as people and as good as their intentions are, I find I have to find my own way. And that's why I found our UFO to be more of a nuts and bolts kind of a let's find out what's going on together and talk about it and see if we can have good discussions and things like this. And I find that infinitely more comforting than hugging and praying in a circle to the sky. So yeah. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. I mean, I'm not like a totally hardcore nuts and bolts skeptic or anything. And I'm not, I'm just not ready to like chant at the sky and like, that's more of like a, I don't know. It's not for me.
So do you think that anyone can have success with this regardless of whether or not they believe in it or whether or not they believe in themselves as having the ability to do this?
Yeah, I think that they could. I think that they have to be honest with themselves though, because if you're lying to yourself, And if, well, you also got to understand these people up there are people, and they could be busy. They could be working. They could be, you know, not the right time. You might catch them at dinner. They might have things to do, right? I don't know if there's a team dedicated just to finding people that are trying to figure this out, but I do believe that they are trying to show the people that do catch on to this, that this is a real thing, to encourage you. This is why I'm still talking about it. I'm like, I saw something 11 years ago, but I know what the hell I saw was real. And if I can teach anybody else how to do it, then we're one step further to trying to understand what's going on with this phenomenon.
And that's why I use that word. And were you skeptical yourself?
Yeah, that was the first time, like when I was a kid.
Or the second time, were you skeptical then?
Yeah, I was ready to call it quits. I was ready to believe that I was just making this shit up my whole life, and that maybe I'm just, like, damaged. Maybe I'll try this, and if, you know, I'm cool with it. If I'm nuts, then I'm nuts. But and right, it just, so just that's why it was weird, because it just so happened that somebody heard me and they're like, I don't know, because if they didn't show up, I would probably just, I would be fine with just giving up, I guess. But I didn't. All right,
so just a few more questions. What do you think our attitude should be towards them? I mean, you mentioned that they might be showing up to encourage us or to make their presence known, but how do you think we should view them in a general sense?
Oh, just the same as you do, like, with people. They're strangers.
But strangers can be a threat, right?
They can, but it depends where you're walking. Like,
okay.
Like, if you're walking around in the wrong part of town with a knife in your pocket, maybe you have a knife in your pocket for a reason. But if you use that knife in your pocket, maybe four other people are going to jump you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, at the same time, how often do you need to deal with people like that?
Are you talking about people from the future or people with knives?
Oh, okay. Like, listen.
Either way, very infrequently.
Listen, they're people just like you and me. They might think differently. They might have completely different cultures. But, you know, the guy trying to rip you off when you buy a car and the whoever trying to get something from you for nothing, like, trying to make you a raw deal, if they're people from the sky, it could be the same, right? Like, they're sleazeballs no matter where you go. Yet there are also people like, you know, like your grandma and people like your best friend and whatever. And there's strangers like that everywhere. There's the best of people and there's the worst of people everywhere. I don't think you can judge them as them. I think they're people. Just like us.
So where do you think that they came from? Do you think that they originated on Earth or in a different dimension or a different time?
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Okay.
I couldn't even guess.
And then lastly, just any final thoughts or closing statements? What is the message that you'd like to share with this, with your story? Just that anyone can do it, or someone, to not be afraid?
No. Something's going on. And someone knows. Like, something's going on with someone from somewhere else. And someone from here knows. Because I did that shit. And something showed up. Someone showed up. And then 3 days later, one of us showed up. So we know what's going on. In a, you know. So I think that as... what I want to bring to people's attention is that somebody is in the know. That's one of us. That's a group of people. That's us. I think it's time for us to do our best to try to weed out the disinfo. Because there's so much of it. Let's just see if we can be honest with ourselves, because we know there's disinfo people and they're not helping. And I don't mean just like pointing fingers at anybody. I mean, like, like the blacklist on UFO theater that's like calling people out for their garbage that's just filling everything, and it's just making this whole phenomenon a joke. It makes everything infinitely harder. And it's very difficult to be honest with yourself when you don't have the right information. You don't really know where to go.
Yeah, right? So from now on, can they come to your podcast and share their story there?
Oh, well, I'm going to be here.
Because that's why I did it. I think it's important to share your story.
Yeah, that's my story. So, I mean, there's probably little bits and pieces that I was missing or whatever, but let's see if I can think about any, but not off the top of my head. I think that, well, first of all, we're not alone. Second of all, I don't know everything, but I'm going to be honest about it. So I'm going to continue this podcast, and I'm going to try to bring the best information to you, and I'm going to utilize the people that I can that also want to find the best information, and I'm going to hopefully create a group of people, the sovereign envoys, that are going to be the envoys to talk to the world and possibly the people out there on behalf of our people. Because if we can weed out the disinfo, then maybe we can be the first ones to have a clear conversation with ourselves. That means all the people that are on the inside with the secrets, possibly. I mean, it's not completely impossible. Maybe it's secret for a reason, which is fine, but maybe we can start to have an honest dialogue, because I do not think that the government is covering things up maliciously. I do not believe that the military is off on a tangent to destroy the world or take it for themselves. There could be people that are thinking like that, but it's definitely not most of us. Yes, we're wasteful. Yes, we're messy as a species. We can work on that. But I think it's good that we acknowledge it and work on it together, rather than sweeping it under the carpet. And then, once we clean up our house, we can invite the neighbors. You know what I'm saying? As sovereign envoys of our own planet.
Yep.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I hope they come over.
They're probably already here. They're just peering over the fence, right?
Peeping Toms.
Ooh. All right. So anything else? I guess we went a little long. I think our next formats are going to try to keep it to about 30 minutes. So I guess this was a special episode.
Yeah. That was good. Thanks again for sharing your story.
Yeah. Is there anything else you can think of asking, or have you ever seen anything?
I have not.
No?
You know, honestly, 2 or 3 days ago, I think I might have seen something, but it's nothing anywhere near as exciting as your story.
It's always exciting. You don't get hit with a ton of bricks right away all the time. Sometimes it's, and a lot of it sounds weird, but a lot of times, like, information can come in like almost synchronicities. It feels like almost that this reality is not maybe what we think it is. Like maybe there's some kind of extra level to this phenomenology. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but synchronicities are kind of like a real thing. Not just all made up by the brain, but, you know. But yeah. We could talk about that later. That's just a, you know, as a tangent that I won't go on today.
All right. So is there anything else you want to add?
No, I just want to thank, Kiwi Bonga for making the Discord. It's been great, and for admitting the RUFO subreddit again, because he's done an amazing job, and there's amazing people showing up, and I can't wait to see what unfolds in the years, months, and decades, I guess. I hope. I hope it's awesome. It's been awesome so far.
So what's your outro? What do you say at the end of every video?
What did you say at the beginning of that? This is
it's classified.
Oh. What was it?
Incredible topics with credible evidence.
Oh, I thought you were gonna I was like incomprehensible. Incredible topics with
credible evidence.
That's sick. Okay. All right, so that was Theory, and I'm Gabriel. Theory T, what is it?
QED.
Theory QED on Discord at RUFO. That's, I think, the Discord general chat. Come visit us on Reddit at r/UFO. I am Gabriel of Calgary, r/Gabriel of Calgary. Anyways, this has gone on long enough.
Yeah, we're going to have to edit this down.
All right. Okay.
Good job, man. Yeah. Thanks again.
All right. I'll see you guys next week. Cheers.
Cheers.